and I felt it burn in her chest as she walked, and the smell of the sewer was never far away. She looked behind, not because she seriously believed someone might be following her, but because such caution had become a habit. All in all, she knew that she was much safer here in Chisinau than she was back in Yorkshire or London. She had been worried that Peter Tadic would work out that she had been responsible for the death of his brother Goran, and that he would come to find her. But how could he, she asked herself in more rational moments. Even if he discovered that a woman had killed Goran, there was no reason why he should assume that was Zelda. Goran had abused a lot of women. Why would his brother think, for even a moment, of that young, frightened Moldovan girl they had raped and abused on a long drive across Romania over 13 years ago? The underpass Zelda took to get across the broad road was dark and scrawled with graffiti, mostly swastikas and erect penises. The concrete steps going down were cracked and missing huge chunks, making them awkward to negotiate. The passage was dark and smelled of urine. Zelda picked up her pace, and when she emerged it was into an altogether different part of Chisinau, an urban wasteland of neglected grey Soviet tower blocks and swaths of sparse grass and spindly trees. A couple of children were kicking a football around, and a scrawny dog lifted its leg against a dead tree. There were signs of construction, huge piles of dirt, concrete blocks, wooden rafters, metal bars, but the sites were deserted and the mechanical diggers idle. In the midst of all this stood a brand new shopping centre, opposite the crumbling, blank-eyed stare of the National Hotel. A luxury in-tourist hotel in the Soviet era, and once the hottest party spot in town, the National had been built in the late 70s, and had stood empty for as long as Zelda could remember. Its decayed grandeur was a cynical reminder of the faded glory of the old days. In front of the hotel stretched a sunken area of dried-up and litter-strewn fountains, now overgrown with weeds, and home to empty beer cans, broken bottles, used condoms, McDonald's wrappers, needles, and whatever other rubbish people tossed into it. Past the beer house and a row of travel agents and car rental outlets, Zelda wandered into the back streets off Constantin Negruzzi Boulevard, and before she knew it, she was standing on the very corner from which she had been snatched. It was a narrow street by Chisinau standards, tree-lined, with a mix of older, more elegant Russian-style buildings and modern uniform Soviet blocks, what Zelda called Stalinist architecture. Everything was grey and pockmarked, chipped and pitted. Very few cars passed by as she stood, fixed to the spot. The old bar on the corner was gone, turned into a brand new farmacia, complete with green neon cross. But the rest of the street was much the same. There, all those years ago, with the dazzling promise of a great future, Zelda's life as she knew it had come to an end. She remembered seeing the small scuffed suitcase break open on the cracked road surface, spilling what few possessions and memories of her dead parents she had. Her mother's music box, her father's scuffed leather wallet, the book Zelda was reading, Bleak House, her clothes, and the scrapbook and diaries she had diligently kept over her years in the orphanage, and her father's chipped shaving mug, which broke into fragments when it hit the concrete. And the photographs. It had hurt most of all to lose the photographs. While there were plenty taken with friends during her years at the orphanage, there were only three that showed her parents. It was too long ago to remember the details, but she did remember the day the suitcase arrived at the orphanage, only a few months after her parents' deaths in 1992. The contents of the case were the only remnants left of her life from those days. One photograph showed her father, young and handsome, with a shy smile, and another her mother, wearing a bikini on holiday in Odessa, with a black sea in the background, pretending to strike a sexy pose and putting her hand over her mouth to stifle the laughter. The third showed a stiff and formal family group in a studio portrait taken when Zelda was about three. She sat